The World Health Organization finds that 1 billion people in the world are considered overweight, yet there are 800 million people around the This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq, Shiite militia have taken over the southeastern city of Amara, a city with a population of 750,000 people, and which until August was under the control of British troops, which then handed the city over to the Iraqi military. The takeover began yesterday, was completed this morning when armed militia stormed and then blew up the main police stations, commandeered police vehicles, and set up roadblocks. An estimated 50 people have been killed, an equal number wounded in clashes with the militia. In response, Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki has dispatched an emergency security delegation to the city. Meanwhile, in this country, there are growing calls from lawmakers in both parties for the White House to abandon its open-ended commitment to the war in Iraq. However, although the administration admits that tactics may need to change, there are no plans to change the course of the war. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is now in Beijing, where she's been talking with Chinese leaders about using their leverage to force North Korea to abandon its nuclear program and return to the negotiating table. And she is discounting reports from South Korea that North Korean leader Kim Jong-il has told the Chinese envoy that his country has no plans for any more weapons tests and is apologizing for the tests already conducted. The UN General Assembly will try again today to fill the remaining seat on the Security Council after 29 votes so far this week. The body is still deadlocked between Venezuela and Guatemala. Israel is warning Iran that it will have to pay a price if it does not give up its nuclear ambitions. But Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says they are going to continue with their nuclear program and that any decisions by the UN Security Council regarding Iran's program are illegitimate. In Gaza, an agreement has been reached between Fatah and Hamas officials to take steps to end the violence between the two rival Palestinian movements, which many had feared would lead to civil war. An Orange County, California Republican says he will not bow out of his race for the Congress, despite pressure from the GOP to do just that. At issue is a letter sent out by his campaign telling 14,000 Hispanic voters in his district that they could be arrested and deported if they show up to vote on Election Day. Candidate says he didn't know about the letter, has fired the worker who sent it out, but the party says he did know and needs to bow out of the race. Catholic Bishop of Santa Rosa, California, is under criminal investigation for not immediately reporting to authorities the alleged sexual abuse by one of his priests, as required by California law, as well as the Charter of the Catholic Church. By the time he did report the allegations, the priest, a Mexican native, had disappeared. A Milwaukee man under arrest for allegedly making threats over the Internet to explode radiological bombs at 7 NFL stadiums this weekend. The threat turned out to be a hoax.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Mexico has lifted its ban on California lettuce, a ban that had been put in place after the E. coli outbreak in August. Geneticists are now saying that a highly touted DNA test to determine the lineage of African Americans has been found to be accurate less than 10% of the time. They say such tests can trace a person's general ancestral region, but can seldom link it definitively to a specific tribe. After six failed attempts, Russia today successfully launched a weather satellite from Kazakhstan. The former head of the New York Stock Exchange, Richard Grasso, has been court-ordered to return most of the nearly $190 million he received as compensation after being ousted as the head of the NYSE. He says he'll appeal. The nation's largest hospital company, HCA, says its third quarter profits are down because of the rising cost of caring for uninsured patients. GM's third quarter sales are down 3% from a year ago, though it did improve its U.S. market share during the quarter by 1%. And OPEC announcing today it's decided to cut production by 1.2 million barrels a day. That's more than previously announced. And some ministers say they may be open to even further cuts. Those reductions will begin on November 1st. They affect all OPEC countries except for Iraq. Light sweet crude this hour is trading down 30 cents a barrel at $58.20. On Wall Street, all the markets are down. The Dow down 22 points at 11,984. NASDAQ down 4 at 2337. The S&P 500 is down 1 at 1365. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Ah, thank you, Bob. Oh, it's a beautiful day here in Chicago, Chi-Town, the Windy City, City of the Big Shoulders, a city, as Bob said, with many names, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be back on the air. How are you all doing? I hope it's. I hope you're all doing well, and I hope I want to say hi to everybody in the Head-On Radio chat room. If you're not in there, go in there, headonradionetwork.com, and hit the live chat button, and you'll get right... You'll get right in there, and you'll get to talk to some of the smartest people out there on the web. The number to call in when you want to call in is 1-877-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. And, yes, I know I don't have a Chicago accent because I was born in New York. What can I tell you? I've only been in Chicago here for, what, a couple of months now. I'm really getting settled in. I love this city. I love this city, and I'm really happy to be here. What's going on? There's so much stuff going on today, and it's hard to keep track of everything. And well, we just got and Agnes was talking on the news. I heard the news, and you know, I was reading about the militias taking over the whole city there. And you know, I still got friends who say, well, you know, we're winning. We are winning in Iraq. We are doing a wonderful job there, putting together new schools and doing paint jobs on bicycles and whatnot. And the people there love us, you know. And if you'll excuse me, I got to follow this rabbit down into this hedge. Oh my God, it's incredible. Don't people have any understanding of history? Don't people understand what the end results of long distance occupations are? Does anybody understand this? Certainly nobody in the administration understands it. I don't think many of the people who are following what's going on understand much about history. You know, for our people who are followers of this illegal regime, you know, and it's just amazing. And here we have, this is a report from the New York Times that you know, I'd noticed before Agnes mentioned it, but, you know, it's just kind of funny. You know, just having just seen it and then having it doubly confirmed by the wonderful sources on the news network there, and these are people who are the people who took over the city are people who are with Muqtada al-Sadr, who was one of the important priests up there. And I always got confused about that until somebody said, just think of him as the Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell. You got Sistani and you got Sadr and a few other people, and just think of him in the same sense that you think of a Robertson or a Falwell, or in Europe, there are Catholic bishops and Catholic priests who have a lot of influence over a particular region. I mean, they'll say something and people will actually listen and do stuff. And that's, you know, that's the way it is with these guys. And these guys have militias. And God forbid Pat Robertson should ever get an armed militia. That's the last thing we need in this country, although that may be on its way, the way things are going right now. But, you know, and I love the way it was put. The Prime Minister, Maliki, you know, wasn't Maliki one of the guys in Greek? Hey, a hickey for Maliki. You're going to get a hickey for Maliki. That's a badge of honor. But he sent, I love this, an emergency security delegation. I can just see this. Oh, could you please rather stop this, because you're making it rather embarrassing for us here in Baghdad. Oh, excuse me, I got to dodge this road bomb. Hang on. He's sending a delegation out there? What the hell is he doing? What I'm really surprised at is that we haven't just nuked the whole place into the ground to begin with. We haven't turned it into a sheet of glass. Why haven't we done that yet? These guys are crazy enough to do it, that's for sure. You know? And it just shocks me that we haven't even gone to that level yet, because we're getting there. We're getting there. And we've got a couple aircraft carrier groups heading right for the Persian Gulf area. Apparently looking to go with it in Iran. I can't say it right, sorry. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Rented lips. I'm renting my mouth out today because I need the extra. But no, they got aircraft carriers. And, you know, the Republicans say, why are Bush and Rove and all them, why are they so confident about what's going to go happening in the elections? And they're like, well, you know, he's got the entire army there to do his little bidding. You know, Mr. Soldier Boy, Mr. President Codpiece, they're flying in on the aircraft. Mission accomplished, boys. Mission accomplished. And you keep kind of wondering, are they that incompetent? Or, you know, that's just the thing with these people. Are they that incompetent? Or is this part of some sort of greater plan? It's so hard to tell. It's so hard to tell. I mean, you can never know where they're going. And you're certainly not going to get the truth from the so-called professionals in the media. You're not going to get the truth in any way, shape, or form from these guys. You know? They're just, you know, they're too busy playing balance. Well, you know, they say 650,000 people have died, but we have another report that says only two people have died since the entire invasion. So in order to be fair and balanced about it, we have to give both sides of the issue. So, you know, because that's what the news is nowadays. Is somebody says one thing, and somebody says another thing, and that's what we report. We don't even bother to try to find out what's really going on anymore. Just report what people say. Is it enough to want to make you tear your hair out, you know? And I just had a haircut, so I really can't tear as much out as I used to. But it makes you want to just, you know, you see it, and you just can't believe it. And you want to just pull your hair out. You want to tear your skin off, say, no! It's not real! I keep expecting Rod Serling to show up. You know, here in it's the Twilight Zone, and we've got a completely alternate universe here where idiots run the government. Now, granted, we've had idiots running the government before, okay? I mean, this is not the first time this has happened in this country, but I don't think we've had a bigger idiot than the puppet in charge right now. And you know, there's almost so much people say, well, he's really not that dumb. You know, I think he is in a different sense of what people are talking about, people who just don't understand. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. He calls himself the CEO president, and that's exactly what he is. They run this thing like a business. Anybody who's worked in any corporation understands exactly what these guys are doing. They're just giving out orders, and they're saying, this will be done. We will do this. And some rare executive will actually take matters into their own hands and do it themselves, or they'll get some flunky to do it and take credit for it. And that's what these guys are doing. They're running it like a business, man. These guys give the orders and everybody's expected to follow. And that's how the government runs. And God forbid you should question it. And I keep wondering when I'm going to get the knock on the door where people say, all right, that's it. We're taking you out. You know, many years ago, actually, it was, what year was it? God, it was after the 2002 midterms, I think, or just before, when I was doing the Joey Jojo show with Joey Davis. We did a little bit where we were talking about what would happen if the Republicans maintained control of the Congress. And it ended with a couple of agents barging in and us being shot. And, you know, granted, we knew it was an exaggeration. We weren't trying to fool anybody into thinking it was going to get that bad that quickly. But you look at things the way they're going, and I'm waiting for Kristallnacht, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, things could get that bad, and they're getting more and more desperate. The thing about the Hispanic voters out in California, I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. There's a lot of things I'm going to be talking about. But you could see it. There were some radio ads, apparently, geared towards black people, trying to get black people to vote Republican. And I had, you know, they had these couple ethnic guys saying, you know, when I'm knocking up my hose, I don't want to worry about, you know, casting my seed or whatever. And you know, well, maybe you should vote Republican because they're against abortion. And I'm like, what the heck? God, who believes this stuff? Does anybody buy this? You know, I'm not the brightest bulb in the world. I don't pretend to be smarter than most people, you know, but I can see this stuff and it's fairly obvious to me. And I don't understand how people just don't see it. I mean, it's like people saying, you know, one and one is three. And I'm sitting there going, huh? No, it's two. And then you have the news again, you know. So, well, you know, some people say that one and one equals two, but others say one and one is three, and others say one and one is four. You know? And they just believe it. And like I said, I still have people, you know, in the Iraq thing, I still have people who think that we're winning. How is this winning? In what way, shape, or form is this winning? Things would have been better off for the Iraqi people if we had left Hussein in charge. We're certainly killing Iraqis at a much higher rate than he ever did. And now we have an Al-Qaeda presence there where there wasn't one before. Because, you know, Hussein didn't like Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda were a bunch of religious fanatics. I need to take a break. I need to catch my breath. Listen, give me a call. I want to hear from you all. 1-877-443-2366, and we'll talk about all this stuff. Give me a call, and we'll be back. We'll have a little break, and we'll talk later.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first,
They didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah! A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Okay, and we're back to the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I am Joe Vecchio, your not-so-humble host, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-4HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Give me a call. I want to talk to you to find out what you're thinking about all the assorted crap that's going on right now and how bad things are in the country. And things are really, really, really bad, and they really are. One of my, again, let me say hi to everybody in the Head-On chat room. Once again, go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the live chat link, and you can go in there and talk to some of the smarter people on the Internet, some really good people there. If you want to email me, my email is joe@cupjoe.com. That's joe@cupjoe.com. Very easy. Very easy. I changed it around because, you know, I had a Yahoo address and I had this address and that address. You know, when I came up here to Chicago, I had to get a different phone service, so they gave me, I signed up with an evil company. I won't say who they are, but I signed up with an evil company because I really didn't have a whole lot of a choice. And they gave me this really complicated email address. And my Bell South address has gone away because I'm not with Bell South anymore. And Bell South was kind of evil, but not as evil as this current company. And so I had the domain name cupjoe.com, which is basically where I store graphics and stuff like that for my blog, which, by the way, is cupofjoe.blogspot.com, cupofjoe.blogspot.com. And I decided to pay, $15 a year? No, $10 a year for the use of the email address, joe@cupjoe.com. So I'm very, very happy about that. When I say, and again, for those of you who haven't listened to me before, when I say I'm the voice of the working man's thinking man, I mean it. And certainly in the sense that I'm the voice of the working man because, you know, and all due respect to my fellow hosts here at the Head-On Network, and they're all wonderful people, Bob Kincaid and Bruce Birch and everybody out there. They're all wonderful people, but they're all, you know, college graduates and stuff. And, you know, they grew up in a different type of world than I did. And I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I grew up in lower middle class Brooklyn family. My dad was a union man, and he made himself, by himself, he made enough money to support a family of five, ostensibly because he was a union man. And he didn't even have a high school education. I only have a high school education. My parents weren't really knowledgeable about higher education, so they never really discussed it that much with any of us kids. My sister wound up going to college eventually, but I've never set foot in one except for, you know, visiting people or something like that. So, you know, I've been a regular 9-to-5 working type of person. But unfortunately for me, and I say unfortunately because it does make it difficult when you're in the workplace, I have an intellectual streak to me. I like to think. And I like to try to look at things differently. And I'm not the most social person in the world. I'm the biggest one to admit that. I'm okay in front of a microphone like this. I'm okay in front of an audience. But get me with a group of people and I get nervous. I'm a nervous guy. And it makes it difficult when you have to go 9-to-5 or whatever your hours are regular. I mean, the job I have now, I work for a very nice company scanning legal documents. And in fact, I have to, as soon as the show is over, I have to grab a shower at work. And it's an okay job because I really don't have much of a chance to talk to people. I just basically sit at my computer and sit at my scanner and shove papers in the scanner all day. And, you know, it doesn't pay great, but it pays all right. And that's the type of stuff that I'm used to. And so you know, well, the other hosts, and again, I love them to death. They're all wonderful people. A lot of times they're speaking out of stuff from a philosophical, ideological point of view. I talk about it from a real life point of view because, you know, I've lived it. I've experienced it. I've lived on ramen noodles, okay? I've actually gone days where I've had trouble at work, and I've had the same kinds of troubles at work that y'all out there listening to now. Listen to me saying y'all. You know, I lived in Atlanta for 12 years, and I picked up some of these little idiosyncrasies, but I like using that word. But I'm still a Brooklyn guy, and again, I love Chicago. Oh, geez, I talked all the time. I didn't want to talk all about that, but I want to talk about this because this is something that really it bothers me from time to time. And one of my favorite websites is the Whiskey Bar. It's BillMon.org, BillMon.org. One of the better sites. Billmon is one of the better writers in the blogosphere right now. And he had a post recently. The name of the post is Down the River. It's the October 18th post. And he talks about, well, let me read you what he wrote, because he expressed something that a lot of us kind of feel about what's been going on in this country and what we could have done to stop it. He writes, one can fully accept America's moral and legal responsibility for unleashing this barbarism and still not have a clue as to what can or should be done to stop it. Would a U.S. military withdrawal in Iraq reduce the bloodshed or worsen it? I don't know. And I think anyone who says they do know is either lying or as deluded as Bush. But my intuition tells me that either way, whether we stay or go, thousands more, maybe millions more, are going to die. There's a certain hopelessness about it, you see. For someone in my shoes, he continues, a hopelessness can be an excuse for not thinking about unpleasant truths. But there was something about Riverbend's quiet, this is another poster that he was referring to, that forced me to think hard about my own moral responsibility as an American for a genocide caused by America because of a war started in my name, paid for with my taxes. He goes on, I've opposed this war since it was just a malignant smirk on George Bush's face. I've spoken against it, written against it, marched against it, supported and contributed to politicians who I generally despise because I thought wrongly that they might do something to stop it. It's why I took up blogging. It's why I started this blog. And this is his words, not mine. But the question that he asked himself, the question is, did I do enough? And the only honest answer is no. And think about that, because you always worry about, and this is me talking again, think about that, because we all go through this from time to time, thinking, is there more I could have done? You know, Billmon continues, I opposed the invasion and the regime that launched it, but I didn't do everything I could have done. Very few did. We have put our words and our wallets on the line, but not our bodies. Not when it might have made a difference. In the end, we're all good little Germans. So my question to myself, in other words, is like Thoreau's famous question to Ralph Waldo Emerson when Emerson came to visit him in jail after he was arrested for not paying his poll tax as a protest against slavery. And Emerson said to Thoreau, what are you doing in there, Henry? And Thoreau said, no, Waldo, the question is, what are you doing out there? It's easy to think up excuses now. We were in the minority, the media was against us, the country was against us, we didn't know how bad it would be. But we knew or should have known that what Bush was planning was an illegal act of aggression based upon a warmongering campaign of deception and ginned-up hysteria. And we knew or should have known what our moral and legal obligations were. And a lot of us knew what was coming down the pike. I certainly knew it. I saw it right away. It was fairly clear for me from the moment these guys took office in 2001 that something nasty was going to come down the pike. And I'm going to answer Billmon, after the break, because we got a break coming up in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to bring that up because, you know, do you ask yourself, have you done everything that you could? Certainly, I think the deep pockets people in the Democratic Party have failed us, or in the left have failed us. Guys like, you know, Soros and stuff like that who gave millions to MoveOn, although, to be perfectly honest, I'm not really sure what the heck MoveOn has been doing. I don't really hear much about them anymore. The only time I see any emails from them is stuff asking for money, and with all those millions, they shouldn't be begging for money anymore. But as I've pointed out before, the right wing, they pay their soldiers well. Guys like Limbaugh and Hannity and people like that, and you know, those are the big guys on the top, but you know, they paid all of their little guys. Hang on a second. They pay a lot of their little guys. you know, at least well enough so that they don't have to worry about paying the rent and bills. And we don't get that. So those people have certainly let us down. And I think it's a little bit unfair to expect a ton of stuff from people who are dealing with situations with their own life. And but did you do enough? And that's the question everybody should ask themselves. What can we be doing in order to try to stop this? But I'm just not really sure. I mean, I don't have an answer to that. Do you have an answer? You can give me a call and you can talk about it. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Let me know. Because I think it's really kind of important. But I am going to address Billmont in more detail because we've got a break coming up. And I don't want to get started on something until I get that. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. We've got some more PSAs coming up. This is Joe Vecchio and the Cup of Joe Show on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be back in a few.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Here is the truth the oil companies won't tell you. Half the foreign oil they import to California is from the Middle East. As a result, California is dangerously dependent on foreign oil. Prop 87 means more alternative fuels and wind and solar power. And that means less oil dependence. Prop 87 is the one thing Californians can do now to clean up the air, help stop the climate crisis, and free us from foreign oil. The sooner we do it, the safer we'll be.
Hi, this is Patty Peterson, and that's the familiar call for Donna Reed. And we'd like to invite you to this year's Donna Reed Festival. If you'd like to study acting from real professionals, then you want to join hundreds of other students from all over the country for workshops in the performing arts. I look forward to seeing you for a great week in Donna's hometown of Denison, Iowa. For more information, please dial 1-800-336-IOWA or visit our website, donnareed.org.
Okay, and we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, etc., etc., etc. Wow, Donna Reed. I'm surprised she's gotten involved in stuff. That's great. I remember her show. Actually, I don't remember her show from being on TV. I remember it from Nick at Night, TV Land. Hey, call me, like the song says. Call me, 1-877-443-2366. Let me know what you have to say about this situation. I was talking at the last break, and let me get into this right away so that I have actually a chance to talk about it. About Bill Mond's post, www.billmond.org, the whiskey bar. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, did we do enough? Did I do enough? And then I really honestly have to say no. And I wrote back to him, and I basically said, look, you know, don't knock yourself out. Don't knock yourself out thinking about this, okay? If you drive yourself, you're going to drive yourself crazy thinking about what you could or should have done. And it's very likely, to be perfectly honest, it's very likely that nothing short of an armed revolution was going to stop the Bush administration, the Republican leadership, and their financial backers from doing anything they damn well pleased. I mean, look at the protests that we had against the Iraq War. Some of them were bigger than a bunch of the protests that we had against the Vietnam War while the Nam War was still going on. This was before the war. And those millions of voices were betrayed and dismissed by the so-called professional media, whose corporate backers are either unwilling dupes of the right or their wholehearted supporters. The forces we're up against are unbelievably powerful. And, you know, we're doing the best we can. We're not cut out for the kind of fanaticism and zombie-like behavior of the Christian right, who are Bush's biggest supporters. It's not that we don't want to defeat them. It's that we don't want to become like them. I don't want to become like them. Don't knock yourself out. You know, I did everything I could possibly do. I mean, I had a very sick wife, and you know, when she passed away, there was a lot of trauma and a lot of stuff in my life, and I didn't have, you know, the energy to go out and do the things that needed to be done. I admit that. And other people have, you know, their lives too. And you got to go to work, you got to earn a living, you got to do these things. We're not like the people on the right who have their own little welfare system going on where they don't have to worry about that stuff. Well, let's find out what you think. We've got Dave from California on the line. Dave, hi. Pull up a chair. Have a cup of Joe.
Thank you, Joe. I certainly agree. I do believe history is going to judge us of this era very harshly, asking how did we in a democracy allow this to happen to our country? And I don't have the quick answer. I do know that in every way possible, people have been deceived and cheated. I think most all Americans want to believe that we're a part of something wonderful, that we're a wonderful country, that others look to with admiration, and that we would never do terrible things. And we have then these right-wing spin talkers trying to convince us superior morality, those of us, you know, the people that save stem cells and hate gays and such, that's superior morals. But I don't think that's a significant number. I think mostly we're the victim of election fraud. And how do we reverse all that? You know, at once psychopaths have grabbed all the power, they've grabbed the White House and the Congress and the Supreme Court, how do people, we the people, undo that? We walk in.
Well, again, I've said this before. It's not like this all happened overnight. I mean, these guys have been working towards this for the last 30 years. So right now, we're just seeing the very tip of the pyramid. You know, that they've reached it. And it's like, what is that old expression about when you boil a frog, don't throw it right in the boiling water. You heat it up slowly. You know, and that's how it goes on. I mean, I think we're going to be facing the same type of questions that the Germans and the Japanese face about. You know, why did they allow that to happen in their own country? And I think we're seeing that now here.
Well, I think for some of us, it's coming at us fast and furious. So much is changing for the worse so quickly. If I were the frog, I'd be long out of the pot if I had the way, you know. But,
I know, it's tough. But, you know, there are rays of hope. I mean, you know, even though I'm still sticking to my skeptical predictions, I mean, I think the tide has really turned. The public tide in a huge way has turned against the Republicans, because a lot of people are really starting to wake up now as to what's going on. I think when the Iraq thing first started out, everything went very, very quickly. And I was just shaking my head knowing that, you know, I knew that part would go quickly, but the occupation would be the problem. And I think people are really starting to wake up now as to what's really happening, because even through the filter, all the bad news that's coming out is waking people up saying, what the hell are we doing down there?
Well, you know, a lot of wonderful things happened in the very first Constitutional Congress. We were lucky to have some really good people there. And when they came out, people outside had asked, what kind of a government have you given us? Have you given us a monarchy? And I guess Franklin was the one to say, no, we have given you a republic, and hopefully you'll be able to keep it of it. And certainly for a long time we did. You know, we've had people's interest being represented by government. And only now do I find, you know, it may have been planned for 30 years, but it's been during these last 6 years or so that it has just been absolutely devastated, the loss of all the protections, and people not motivated by concern for the people, but only motivated by concern for the upper 0.001%. If you're on the board of directors of the major corporations, they represent your interests. Working people are seen as only here to be used and to be exploited. And many people don't see that. They don't, you know, I think driving across America, listening to one right-wing talker after another, people don't see the reality of what is happening to this country.
That's part of it, because they bought the propaganda machine. You know, they got on the radio, which got into people's workplaces and into people's cars. And, you know, the head-on radio does a great job, but you know, we're still on the computers, so we really can't get to where people are. We're working towards that, and we want to get to that point. And there's Air America Radio too, which is trying hard, but it's hard to get the message out there. And basically, they've destroyed the very concept of liberalism. It's going to make it so difficult for us to get back. Because, you know, as much as the conservatism got us into this mess, it's our liberalism that's going to get us out of it, if possible. Because the only way we can redeem ourselves in the eyes of the rest of the world is to get rid of these people and to make a fresh start. Otherwise, we might risk actual invasion or economic sanctions from the rest of the world. I think that's what may happen, that World War III will be the rest of the world against the United States. Dave, what have you done? Are you organized politically? Do you do work for the Democratic Party, or do you blog, or what do you do?
I do. I'm on the radio 12 hours a day, and every week I'm out involved in demonstrations, Veterans for Peace. I'm on the Unitarian Social Action Groups. I write letters to the editors. I call talk shows.
Something.
Huh?
So you're doing something.
Oh, I do whatever I can, and I think many of the people that I know do that also. We have an arrogance in the White House right now that says, it doesn't matter how the people feel. It doesn't matter how the people vote. We control all of that. And I feel that is really what's devastating us most. I think our November surprise is going to be to see Republicans going in with a 25% popularity and coming out with 50.5% of the vote.
That's what frightens me. And I've brought it up before. And I really don't think it's anybody's fault in the sense of activists not doing well enough. The truth of the matter is, A, they're cheating, you know, anytime they have the Diebold machines. And, in fact, there was a headline in the Chicago Tribune yesterday about they expecting a whole bunch of glitches in the November 7th election. And, you know, and if, even if it wasn't the cheating, there's the massive gerrymandering and the congressional districts that are, you know, that are drawn up to help these people out. So, again, that's the only... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Some very good news may have just broken. It's coming out on Brad Blog, but it appears that the Diebold source codes have just been stolen. And it's possible, that the ability to rig elections might fall into the hands of people that give a damn about the people. And
well, you know, I've said time and time again, what we need is a hacker to go in there and, you know, do something outrageous. Maybe we'll get Mickey Mouse elected senator in Connecticut. You know, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd probably be an improvement too.
I couldn't do any worse. Now, then again, you know, Disney has a real, you know, right wing tilt to it as well. So I don't know, sure about that. Maybe we get Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny would be better, because you know Bugs Bunny is a good, solid working class liberal, and he's always fighting back against the man, whether it's Elmer Fudd or some opera singer bugging him. He's always fighting back against oppression, and that's what we need more of. Listen, Dave, we're coming up on a break here, and I hate to let you go because we're having a great conversation, because that's what Head On Radio is all about, is conversation radio. Sure, thanks for calling in, and you take care. Okay, we got a break coming up, and call in. Have more people call in, because I do want to talk to you. The number is 1-877-443-2366. And we'll be back with more on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, you can help people in need. Here are a few suggestions. Contact your local Red Cross. Donate blood. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW. You can also donate money. Go to redcross.org. And as well, you can contact your local church, synagogue, or mosque and find out what they're doing to help people affected by Hurricane Katrina. Thank you for your help and get involved.
Homeland Security advisories are at the highest levels. If you have a disability or special need, you may have to take additional steps to protect yourself and your household in the event of an emergency. Contact your local Office of Emergency Management or Fire Department to find out about special assistance that may be available in your community. Go to www.floridadisaster.org for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, etc., etc., etc. And I know you got to repeat this stuff all the time if you're a radio guy, but it just always seems redundant to me. Like putting the Chicago Sun-Times in your birdcage. You know, that just redundant, isn't it? You know, dump on dump. The number to call in is 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And while we're on the subject of the phones, let's go right to the phones. We've got Sarge from Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, pull up
the chair. Hey, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, man, I couldn't be better. Talked to our buddy Mike Malloy this morning.
Oh, how's he doing?
He's doing great. He sounded good, man. We talked about horn a little bit, too. We talked about horn today too.
Horn?
Yeah, head on radio.
Your audio is a little distorted. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. That's all. No big deal.
Okay. Am I too loud or too soft or just
distorted? Actually, you're fine. Just there, just like that is fine.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Technical issues, man. Technical issues.
It's live radio. That makes it fun.
By the way, were you a sergeant in the Army?
I was a sergeant in the Air Force, and I was a chief petty officer in the Navy.
Oh, okay, I was a sergeant in the Air Force
myself.
I'm sorry,
just a petty officer. I shouldn't say chief.
Chief, couldn't say chief. Okay, I don't know the Navy ranks as well as I know the Air Force ranks. I was a sergeant in the Air Force as well.
I love the Air Force way of doing things, but I hated their uniforms. I loved the Navy uniforms, but I hated the way they did things.
The Navy, you know, I worked for the Navy as a civilian, and yeah, they had some really messed up ways of doing things. When I went out to work for the Ford Aerospace Company, they sent me out to Tustin, California, before they sent me to Italy, and I had to go there to wait for the security clearance. And because I was Air Force, it took maybe 2-3 weeks. There were guys there who were Navy that were there like 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Waiting to get their security clearance stuff. So,
well, see, when I got out of the Air Force, I had a top secret clearance, so any clearance I needed in the Navy wasn't hard to pick up, you know.
Right. But, I was the same way. I was in precision measurement electronics, calibration.
Well, you know, it's funny. I look at the military today, and this is going to lead us right into Iraq, but I look at the military today, and I see what's going on. I served during Vietnam, so... You know, I know a little bit about wartime service, but I look at it and I hear the troops talking, and it really bugs me because I'm gonna tell you, these kids are going through basically the same thing Vietnam vets went through, and it scares me to death because. Man, I just see the pain and the agony that my fellow vets went through, and I look at these kids and I say, oh God, we didn't want this to happen again. Why? And then I get thinking, and I think, oh shoot, what about Afghanistan? There's the forgotten one.
Mm-hmm.
There's Korea. So in a sense, we have Korea and Vietnam going at the same time. And the worst thing is, we actually have an idiot leading it all. And that's scary, man.
And, you know, the thing about it is, I mean, you look at, you know, people were really down on Lyndon Johnson because he prolonged the war. But if you listen to his private conversations, the stuff that he never revealed in public, he was like, what are we going to do? This is a huge mess, but I don't know how to get out of it. Now, yeah. In public, of course, he was, you know, we're all for the war effort and all that because he felt that was his duty as president. But whatever else you can say about Johnson is that he was no idiot. LBJ was a very, very smart guy.
Oh,
and very, very politically savvy.
He was smart, and he knew exactly how to make things work. This guy, he's just a bully, you know. If you don't do it my way, then I'm gonna smear you, and I'm gonna do everything I can to ruin your life.
Well, that's the way he was brought up. Basically, he's the pampered child, spoiled child of a powerful political family. who's just, you know, he's the perfect Republican president, because the real powers behind the Republican Party are not the political leadership. It's the financial backers who are behind them, and the corporate leaders who are behind them. And, you know, all the politicians are just tools, to be perfectly honest. And they can either be very popular tools like Reagan, and Reagan was a tool too. Don't let anybody fool you otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
Or they can be, you know, guys like Herbert Hoover and George Bush. Although, you know, Herbert Hoover was a smart guy too, but he was a total party ideologue. He couldn't understand what was gone wrong with the country and what needed to be done to fix it.
Yeah, you know, it's so when you look at Rumsfeld, who is, you know, I've read Cobra 2, I've read Fiasco, and I'm going to tell you, when I look at this guy, it scares the crap out of me. This man is, he's crazy.
He doesn't know
diddly squat. He is not qualified for the job. He never was. He never will be. And he comes in and he starts telling experienced leaders who knew how to conduct a war that they didn't know what they were doing. He's the one that didn't know what was going on. And
but didn't they tell him that he needed to have something like five times more men on the ground in Iraq than he said that they needed, and he, you know, the whole we'll be greeted with flowers and stuff like that as liberators.
Yeah, he's just what he did, Joe, is he was like bringing in what David Hackworth called perfume princes. They were military leaders that had only one objective. That objective was to climb as high in rank as they could, so when they get out, they could get that big old fat retirement check.
This is the type of people that Eisenhower used to talk about. He used to, you know, talk about generals and medals, and he said, you know, if we wanted to get the budget balanced in the military, all we have to do is give generals a medal for doing it, and then it would get done somehow.
Yeah.
You know, that's all, because that's all some of them cared about. And this was a general himself. This was Eisenhower, you know, one of the greatest generals who ever lived.
Well, you know, Eisenhower's one that talked about the military-industrial complex, and
right.
God, was he right, you know?
Oh, sure.
And you know, you listen to a man I don't know if he planned it. I'm sure he was in on the planning. D-Day. I mean,
he was a major planner in that. Yeah.
And you know, you look at this man, and if the man says, "Look, the military-industrial complex is a major concern," listen.
Well, you know, it was a different world back then, though, and people weren't really prepared to think about that in long terms. And there were certainly politicians in charge at the time who could prevent that. But then, you know, the whole Vietnam thing, and as much as I love Eisenhower, he did get us started there in Vietnam. He sent consultants there.
Sure.
And it escalated under Kennedy, although I'm sure, you know, I don't believe a lot of the stuff in, you know, Oliver Stone's movie JFK, because I think a lot of it is really either taken out of context or blown out of proportion, but I think there really was a desire for Kennedy to pull us out before it got too crazy.
Well, were you old enough to remember?
In all likelihood,
were you old enough to remember Kennedy?
Not really, no, because I was born in 61.
Okay.
So
well, yeah.
I'm really not old. I can only look at it in hindsight.
Okay, I was a boy when that happened, and I remember it because I remember getting out of school on it, and I'm going to tell you, Joe, that was the weirdest feeling I ever had in my life, and it was the day that I started paying attention to politics, because right then you could feel something had changed dramatically. Our whole
right.
future changed, and I honestly believe that if Kennedy had been alive, we would have de-escalated in Vietnam, we'd have gotten out of there, and we would have saved so many lives.
And we would have saved the world too. And I mean, I really think you're right. I think that was a major turning point in this country, because we had assassinations before, and you know, McKinley was shot and Lincoln was shot, of course, and that was a drastic change too. I think if Lincoln had not been assassinated, things would have been very different. Although, you never know. The Southerners were such fanatics. But no offense, because I know you're from Mississippi. But you see on a day-to-day basis what a bunch of fanatics the Southerners are about their heritage and about,
well,
you know the lost cause and stuff.
You know,
that's
funny you mentioned Southern heritage, because one of the things that was big during the flag issue here, when we adopted that stupid flag that we have now, one of the big things that they hit on was Southern heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And in my research, I uncovered the actual explanation by the ones who authored the Mississippi Secession papers. And it's strictly, and I've got copies of it, but it strictly says the only reason Mississippi is leaving the Union is due to slavery.
Oh yeah, they try to say it's something else, but it's always been about that. And and I've said this time and time again, there are Southerners that I have a tremendous amount of respect for: Al Gore, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter. You know, these are incredibly wonderful people, good politicians, very smart people, men I respect a lot. But unfortunately, their fellow Southerners diss him, because I don't know why.
Well, we got a good man running against Trent Lott. His name is Eric Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
He was tutored by one of the leading civil rights activists in Mississippi, a man named Henry Kurtzey, who died not too long ago at the age of 91.
Mm.
And Henry was one of Martin Luther King's disciples. He knew Martin Luther King, and he was a phenomenal man. And Eric trained under him. He learned under him. And he's just, a good man. And he's running.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Listen, I hate to cut you off, but we're coming up on the top of the hour. We got to hit the news.
I enjoy it.
Sarge, I know you're out there in the head-on chat room along with all the other guys. And I, like I said, man, you're all smart people out there in that chat room. So,
thank you.
We got to go to the top of the hour here. Thanks for calling in, man. And you keep listening to the show, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Take care, Sarge. All right, top of the hour coming up. We got the news coming up. So we'll see you in a little bit. This is Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe Radio Show for the Head-On Radio Network. We'll see you in a few.
This is the Quality News Network. Shia militia have taken over the southeastern Iraqi city of Amara, provincial capital on the border of Iran. The takeover began yesterday. Armed militia blew up the main police stations, commandeered police vehicles, set up roadblocks. An estimated 50 people have been killed, an equal number wounded. In response, Iraq's prime minister has dispatched an emergency security delegation. British troops controlled the city until August, when they turned it over to the Iraqi military. In Washington, calls continue from lawmakers in both parties for the White House to abandon its open-ended commitment to the war in Iraq. The administration admits tactics may need to change, but says there are no plans to change the course of the war. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice discounts reports from South Korea that North Korea leader Kim Jong-il has told a Chinese envoy his country has no plans to conduct any more nuclear weapons tests. He is also reported to have apologized and expressed regret for the first test. Rice, who is now in Beijing, says she's heard none of this during her talks with Chinese leaders today about using their leverage to force North Korea to return to the negotiating table. In Washington, a federal judge has ordered the release of names of those who visited with Vice President Dick Cheney over the past 2 years. The Washington Post asked for the logs to identify which lobbyists had access to the VP. On Capitol Hill, the House Ethics Committee investigating the Mark Foley scandal has heard from Majority Leader John Boehner. He says he told the committee he discussed the Foley matter with House Speaker Dennis Hastert and was told by Hastert the matter had been taken care of. In Orange County, Republican leaders are calling upon their GOP congressional candidate to bow out of the race. his campaign tactics, now under investigation by the state. He sent a letter to Hispanic immigrants telling them they could be arrested and deported if they vote on Election Day. The candidate, himself an immigrant from Vietnam, denies prior knowledge. His party says he knew about it and needs to step down. In Santa Rosa, California, the Catholic bishop is under criminal investigation for not immediately reporting to authorities alleged sexual abuse by one of his priests. By the time he did report the allegations, the priest, a Mexican native, had disappeared. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The sixth time is the charm. After 5 unsuccessful attempts, your finally reported its super advanced weather satellite made it into orbit late yesterday. Scientists say it's the best climate monitoring satellite ever launched and will record temperatures, winds, and other data, as well as checking for distress signals from ships and aircraft across the globe. The ozone layer above Antarctica is larger than it has ever been, 10.6 million square miles. Human manufactured gases are to blame, scientists say. The ozone layer shields Earth's life forms from the sun's ultraviolet rays. The nation's largest hospital company says the cost of caring for uninsured patients dragged down its third quarter profits. HCA says bad debt rose to nearly 15% in the quarter. 46 million Americans lack medical insurance. GM sales in the third quarter, 2.3 million vehicles, is down 3% from this time last year. Rental and fleet sales slumped. GM did improve its U.S. market share during the quarter by 1%. Light sweet crude is $57.60 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 32 points. The NASDAQ is down 4 points. The S&P 500 is down 2. Gold is trading for $597.20 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question.
Hey, you gonna eat that?
And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury. Here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
All right, thank you, Bob. That's a lovely intro there. This is it's really nice being back on the air. I was out for so long, and it's just really nice to get out there and be able to talk to everybody out there. And, of course, you know, feel free to call in. We talk to Dave, and we talk to the Sarge. I want to hear from you, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And hello once again to all of my friends out there in the Head-On chat room. Just go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the chat room link, the live chat link. And I wanted to continue on with something that I was talking about with Sarge there, about Southerners in general, but fundamentalist Christians in particular. And those are the people who are basically the core support of the Bush administration. I don't know if you've ever seen that picture that they've had, that they made up with George Bush with the, there was like, I guess it was a presidential seal or something behind him, but it was blurred, so it looked like he had a halo around him. And that's how a lot of Christians see it. You know, it's like, well, he's a good Christian, so he would never lie to me. And again, it's just one of those you want to pull your hair out because you know You know, I mean, you don't have to have a book like what just came out, the book Tempting Faith, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. You don't have to have a book like that out there to tell you that that's what this guy is doing. But, of course, that's what the guys like Robertson and Falwell and people like that, they've been doing that for years. But they fall for it. I mentioned Billmon.org, which is a great website. One of my other favorite websites, and one of the best writers on the blogosphere, is Digby, who apparently is a lady, but that's all right. Doesn't matter. Because, you know, Digby sounds like a guy's name. It really doesn't make a difference on the blogosphere. But, you know, Digby wrote, and it's digbysblog.blogspot.com, or you can go to my blog, which is cupofjoe.blogspot.com, and click on Hullabaloo, which is the actual name of the blog. But it's digbysblog.blogspot.com. It's one of those long names, and I'm sorry it's so long. At any rate, as I mentioned, they had a book that recently came out by a guy named David Kuo, who was apparently one of the top aides dealing with the faith-based initiative and all the other stuff with the Bush administration, one of the liaisons between the Bush administration and the Christian right. And he has, I guess, tremendous conservative credentials, which doesn't mean a whole lot. This means something to some people. And he wrote a book about how, basically, the Bush administration, you know, Bush and Cheney and Rove and all those guys, they laugh at the Christian leaders behind their backs. You know, they call them nuts and other things. And, it doesn't really surprise me, because you can tell that these people are just people who use other people. And, you know, loyalty to them is just do whatever we tell you, and there's no reverse to that. And there was a lot of stuff that came out in this book that I'm sure is fairly obvious to anybody who's been paying attention. But somehow it never seems to get through that filter. I mean, the rank-and-file Republicans, the hardcore fundamentalist Christians, they're going to refuse to believe these allegations, you know, because that's how they set themselves up. And, well, you know, he's a good Christian, so he would never lie to us. Or, you know, they'll use, well, this guy's a traitor and a turncoat. They don't want to believe anything negative. I mean, you really, there are some people that you couldn't, if it was right in front of their face. I read about it in one of James Randi's books. James Randi is a professional musician and one of the better skeptics that we have in this country. He's always debunking not just the fundamentalist Christian stuff, but also the astrology stuff and stuff like that. All that stuff that basically rips people off, which is what these guys are doing on a big scale. And he called it, he used someone else's definition, but he talked about it as being a type one faith, which is the type of faith where if you believe it, regardless of what evidence you're shown against it, you're going to continue to believe it. I mean, if you believe one and one is three, no matter how many times you're shown one and one is two, you're never going to believe it. Everything is just hostile propaganda, right? It's like, I'm sure there are people who are still flat earthers out there who believe that the earth is flat because, hey, it looks flat to me, isn't it? I live out here in Kansas. It's very flat. You know, and the thing about it is, again, I know that, you know, Bush and Cheney, I mean, I don't know it for a fact, but I think I can be reasonably certain that, you know, they're laughing at guys like Robertson and Falwell and behind their back. But the real truth of the matter is, and Digby pointed this out at well, is that these guys are all kind of in cahoots anyway, and what they're doing is they're laughing collectively at their followers. And again, I don't have proof of this. It's not like I have an audio of them, you know, just laughing, you know, stealing money from grandma. And I brought it up in the last show, and I said, you know, there was a documentary that I saw where it said that Jimmy Carter was going to start investigating these people for fraud. And that's how, one of the reasons why they became politically active. And then they realized that not only might the gravy train be over, but if they actually take control of the government, instead of trying to steal grandma's Social Security checks, they could be writing grandma's Social Security checks and getting the money directly from the government, which is one of the things that supposedly was supposed to be done with the faith-based initiative, but apparently they didn't get anywhere near the kind of money. And frankly, they shouldn't be getting any of our tax money. Churches in this country already have a tax-exempt status so that they can get away with a lot of stuff that other people can't. There was a report in the New York Times about how their hiring and firing practices go basically unnoticed because they're religious organizations that are tax-exempt, and nobody really wants to challenge them along those lines. But the rank-and-file Republicans, the hardcore Christians, the zombies, as I like to call them, conditioned as they are to believe only what they're told to believe, are very happy to be good little zombies. I mean, after all, it is the same group, the same type of people who are willing to put up with all sorts of garbage at the workplace. And you work with them. You don't need me to tell you this. Whether they're conservative Christians or not, you see a lot of people who put up with all sorts of nonsense. You probably put up with quite a share of it yourself, as I have to from time to time. They're the same type of people. And they're pretending that they're being good employees, just like they're pretending to be good Christians. No, you're not, people. You're being chumps. You're being suckered. According to Rebecca Cinderbrand, who is another conservative writer, she wrote, Kuo's story, if it's believed at all, wouldn't affect the way voters like my mom feel about the president, and the White House-based account definitely wouldn't have an impact on how they view the Republican-controlled Congress, which doesn't make much of an appearance in Kuo's book. So what sorts of questions does it raise in their minds? How about, why did this come out 3 weeks before the election? Who's plugging the story, and is there any reason to trust them? That's their mindset, people. Regardless of how many of their sons, their daughters, their husbands and wives are dying in Iraq and maybe soon in Iran, despite the economic prospects getting dimmer and dimmer, despite everything else that the Republican leadership has screwed up at home and abroad, God forbid you should trust anyone else. You know, it reminds me of the TV show Fawlty Towers and the famous episode where the Germans were coming to visit and Basil, the head guy, had gotten whacked on the head and had a concussion and was trying to get back to deal with the German situation because they were afraid about, you know, not speaking German and all that stuff. And he was worried about the maid, Polly, and he was, like, telling his wife, Polly can't cope. And his wife was like, well, she can't fall over waiters or get herself jammed under desks or start burglar alarms or lock people in burning rooms or fire fire extinguishers straight in their own face. But I should think the hotel could do with that sort of coping for a couple of days. What do you think, Basil? So, you know, the Democrats can't do it. Well, you know, they can't go out there and declare illegal wars and have hundreds of thousands of people killed and destroy the economy of the country. But I would think the country could do without that sort of thing, don't you think? They won't listen. They never listen. Let's take a break. Number to call, 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we'll have some Puffy Yami Yumi music here, and then we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here is the truth the oil companies won't tell you. Half the foreign oil they import to California is from the Middle East. As a result, California is dangerously dependent on foreign oil. Prop 87 means more alternative fuels and wind and solar power. And that means less oil dependence. Prop 87 is the one thing Californians can do now to clean up the air, help stop the climate crisis, and free us from foreign oil. The sooner we do it, the safer we'll be.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Claud, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Thank you, Billy Joel. Allentown, one of my favorite working class songs. I really like that song. That is, of course, a karaoke version of that. I like karaoke because, you know, I love to sing, but I suck. I can't sing. So I will, privately, in my home, I will sing karaoke music. My late wife and I, we used to sing together, and we were both horrible. I mean, we don't lie about it. And we knew we were bad, and we didn't care. You know, when you really love somebody, it doesn't matter if they're a bad singer or not. You can just laugh about it. But we used to do karaoke all the time. We used to do duet stuff, especially the silly stuff. Like, we used to do the Green Acres theme. We loved that. But I love the karaoke music, and I get a bunch of it. What the heck was I talking about? We were talking with Sarge, and I was talking about how fundamentalist Christians, they take a beating and then keep on ticking. You know, they just will do believe anything they are told by their leaders, and that's really, really kind of sad. Because I know a lot of people like that personally. When I was in the Air Force, my first sergeant was a fundamentalist Christian, and generally speaking, he was a nice enough guy, but he was always trying to convert people. And I don't know if they realize how annoying they are about it. I mean, I realize that they feel like, you know, they feel a need to do that, that's what their religion calls them to do. But you would think that after a while, you know, they would get the point. And, you know, and if you work around these people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I know people out there do work with these guys and ladies. And, you know, it's always Jesus this and Jesus that. And it's like, you know, come on, calm down. And some of them get so obnoxious about it, you just want to bust them in the mouth sometimes. You know, shut up! Stop it! What gets me are the athletes. The athletes are going on and say, well, you know, it wasn't me that hit the ball, it was Jesus. Jesus hit it for me. And I'm like, shut up! Jesus doesn't give a damn about the game. Jesus doesn't care who's in the damn World Series. He doesn't. He doesn't care who wins the Super Bowl. Why should he care about that? At any rate, I'm rambling about that. But it just really... It really pesters me, and again, any of you out there who've had to work with these people, and I know that most of you out there who are listening to the show have had to work with these people, understand exactly what I'm saying. And you wonder what the psychology is behind that. And are they cracking up? That's just the whole thing. Daily Coast, which is not a blog I read as regularly as I used to, mostly because if you look at the community of Daily Coast, it gets very, very cliquish, and you got to be careful. Anything you post... Because anything you say, some idiot in the Coast community, and not Coast himself, not Marcos himself, but some idiot in the Coast community will find some way to take it out of context and start ripping you for it. And it really drives me crazy that we get little clicks like that, especially when we need to stick together more often. But there's a lot of talk on there. There have been a couple of posts about how the Republican Party is in disarray. And, you know, while it's really nice to read that sort of stuff because you really want them to crack up, because you know that this is a very strained alliance to begin with, that you had your fiscal libertarian types, the money people, the business people, who are only interested in, you know, padding their own wallets, and they had a kind of alliance with the hardcore Christian right, who are the bulk of their voters, you know, Walmart types, who will, you know, accept anything. And it was just kind of a big collaboration, and if the Republicans lose Congress, there's going to be a ton of recriminations. And again, I want to point out, and people will say I'm defeatist, I'm not defeatist, I'm just trying to make sure everybody understands that there's a good possibility that nothing serious will change. The polls are in the people are in a throw the bums out mood, but that doesn't generally translate into they're going to throw their own bums out. And again, I don't need to point out that when all else fails, there's always Diebold. And I'm still wondering about this fleet that's heading into the Persian Gulf, what they've got in store for us. Will they go so far as to maybe suspend the election? Or to find some excuse not to have it? Are they that crazy? I guess we'll find out. But again, like Sarge said, you know, people say that 25% approval rating for the Republican Congress, but oh my God, they won by 50.5% of the vote, and they maintained their hold on Congress. Now, you know, the Iraq war is going so badly that the Republicans are starting to talk about what's, you know, it's even for them, it's getting harder and harder to justify what's going on. Because things are so unbelievably bad there that even through the news filter, I mean, even Fox News, I'm sure, is having trouble dealing with this situation. And now we have a president who just signed into law the, what the heck was it, the Military Commissions Act or something like that, that basically suspends the writ of habeas corpus. And I know a lot of you are political junkies and you know what habeas corpus is, but for those of you who aren't aware of that, let me just refresh your memories. Habeas corpus basically is Latin for bring the body here, I believe it means. Basically what it says is that you have the right to confront your accuser in a court of law. And by signing this law, which is totally unconstitutional, but which just the conservative Supreme Court led by Scalia, never mind Roberts, Scalia is the ideological head of this court, and he's an Italian, which makes me ashamed to be an Italian, will probably say, you know, Bush has the power to do what he wants because, hey, he's the president. At least, at the very least, he's our president, so he gets to do what he wants. If it was a Democratic guy, they certainly wouldn't go for it. And I'm sure if a Democrat gets elected in 2008, they'll try to get rid of that as soon as they possibly can because they only want Bush people. And he signed this thing into law, which basically says if he thinks somebody's an enemy combatant, if Donald Rumsfeld thinks somebody's an enemy combatant, they can throw you away. They can toss you in jail, throw away the key, never give you a trial, never give you a trial, and you can just sit there and rot. He has that authority now. And I remember I was watching him sign it, and he signed it. You know, usually when presidents sign important laws, I remember seeing Bill Clinton do this, they have like 9 or 10 pens because everybody wants, you know, the pen that they signed it with. So he'll sign one part of it with one pen and just click back. No, Bush had one pen, signed his name, and slammed the pen down like, yes! I can see Marv Albert doing, yes, and the foul. I got what I want. All you enemy combatants out there, you watch it. Well, Keith Olbermann was pointing out the other night on MSNBC, and people talking about him like he's Edward R. Murrow, and I'm like, well, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm glad somebody's speaking out. Although, as he told to one guest, he said, well, I'll see you in Gitmo. And that could be it. There's no reason to think he won't do it. What is it that he said, you know, before he, I don't want to say elected. I didn't say that. Before he got into office, He's like, life would sure be a lot easier if it was a dictatorship, as long as I was a dictator, right? Well, he's getting close to that, people. Because according to this law, like I said earlier in the show, he could barge right in here, take my ass away, throw it in jail. Can I say that? I hope I can say that. Throw me in jail, and you'd never hear from me again, and I wouldn't have access to a lawyer. My relatives wouldn't know where I was. You wouldn't know where I was. Bob and Agnes would say, well, we got to fill the slot now. Thanks a lot. Agnes is telling me ass is fine, that it's in the Bible. That's right. I remember that. The George Carlin talking about that in the seven dirty words. And, you know, one of them was, you know, and he said, the word's in the Bible. you know, when I was doing the pre-recorded show, I didn't have to worry about such things as obscenities, and I can let my Brooklyn flavor come out in full. But, you know, it's fine. I can contain myself, despite how mad I get about certain things. But, you know, there have been times in this country before where habeas corpus has been suspended, and every time, it's been used for political reasons, except maybe, I don't know how much Lincoln did, but then again, we were actually at war when Lincoln did it, with the South. But he, you know, that was probably the biggest stain on his record. And Obermann pointed out the biggest stain on FDR's thing was the, you know, the Japanese concentration camps we had in this country, which is still a disgrace. And as much as I love and respect FDR, that was completely and totally wrong for him to have done. And I remember Reagan apologizing for it, of all people. But, you know, you can tell his heart wasn't really in it as far as he was concerned. You know, he'd throw half the country in prison anyway. Same with his Republican buddies now, if they had the opportunity to do it. I keep waiting for Kristallnacht. We've had a Reichstag moment. I mean, it just follows a progression. And like I said, you watch this stuff on the History Channel, and then, you know, you watch it how it happened in Germany and Japan, you think, well, it happened wham, wham, wham. It didn't happen that quickly. It happened over the years. And it's just like it's happening slowly here. What do we got? The bottom of the hour. Give me a call. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We got to do some more PSAs, and we'll be back for the last half hour on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States. How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day, 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't. Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
Okay, and we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network. Once again, before I forget, let me thank the lovely Agnes Kincaid out there in West Virginia and her husband Bob Kincaid, who is, of course, on the Head On show and every evening, weekday evening here. Was it 7 to 10, right? 7 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, the Bob Kincaid show, Head On, the Head On radio show. And he does a great show. And, of course, I'm in Central Time now, so it's, for those of you on East, you're listening to me from noon to 2. If you're on in Central Time, like we are here in Chicago, the show is on 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., which is a good time slot. It's actually perfect for me with my current job because I don't have to be at work until 3 o'clock. I love the afternoon shift. I've always been a night person. So whenever I get an evening thing like that, that's fine with me. Because, you know, even if I was getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work, I'd still probably not fall asleep till 11, 12 o'clock. I'm just like that. Some people are night people. Some people are day people. And I'm a night person. And I like going in a little late because it means I can sleep in and still wake up long before I have to go to work. So I have time to accomplish things. What I really hate, and I'm sure you get this, you guys get this too, is if you're waking up and you're rushing to get to work and you really your mindset isn't quite there when you get to your job. You know, and I really hate that too. And I like to get a little things accomplished. I like to read the paper if I possibly can. It's a fairly long commute for me taking the bus and the train. I take a bus and a train to get to work. And I love actually riding the train. I love riding the subway. And the transportation system here is so much better than it is down in Atlanta. And it was kind of funny because I was getting home last night, and I don't know how to explain it too much. I'll try to keep it simple. I can either take there's different trains here. There's the red line, the blue line, the green line. I usually take the brown line to get home. I take it to Western Avenue, and I take the 49 bus up north on Western Avenue to get to where I live. And I can do it that way, or I could take the red line up to the Loyola University stop and take the Devon bus down Devon and get off, you know, my street and walk down. It's actually less of a walk, but it's a slightly longer trip. But yesterday I decided to stop at the supermarket on the way home. There's a supermarket right outside of one of the train stations. And I went there and I got my stuff and I came back and I thought, okay, whatever comes first, because the place where I was at, the trains, the red line and the brown train line train show up. So I said, whatever shows up first, that's what I'm going to take. And the red line train showed up first, so that's what they did. I get off at Loyola. And I'm standing there waiting, and there's two buses that go at the Loyola stop. There's the one I take, which is the 155, I think, and then there's the 147, which takes a different route. I've never been on it, but there was a 147 sitting there. And it was one of those, if you live in a big city, you've seen these. It's basically two buses. My roommate Tom told me they call that articulate. I have no idea what, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me, but I call them double-deckers, even though double-deckers means two levels. But this is like, you know, two buses, right, back, you know, connected together. Very long bus, basically. And I guess the bus driver there was having trouble with somebody who's trying to get on. But rather than just, you know, getting the guy off the bus, and the guy was already off the bus anyway, rather than just driving on, because, you know, you have your argument, and these things happen, you know, the bus drivers have a tough time, the passengers have a tough time, blah, 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 it happens. Rather than doing that, she was sitting there at the bus stop for like 20 minutes, And I'm glad, by the way, that it wasn't my bus. But she was sitting at that bus stop for 20 friggin' minutes. She honked her horn to get the CTA, Chicago Transit Authority, the CTA cop over there. And they had the regular police come. And, you know, it's like, meanwhile, all the people who are on the bus are like, can we get home now, please? And I, like I said, I'm glad it wasn't my bus. Because if it was my bus, I probably would have been arrested. It's like, I'm tired. I want to go home. It's late. Put your foot on the gas and move. And she's waiting, and another bus, the same one, I think it's 147, I think I might have said that. Don't ask me, I don't remember. But another 147 finally comes up, and all those guys get off that bus and go on to the other bus. And she's still sitting there talking to the cops. Finally, my bus shows up, and because she's sitting there in the spot, you worry about whether the bus is just going to pass you up, because they won't really do that. But at the very least, you had to go out. The bus driver has to stop in the middle of the street, block traffic, while we all get on that bus. And then we get on that bus, and we turn the corner, and for some reason, and no one still says anything why, that bus stops. So we're sitting there on Devon by Sheridan, and another 155 shows up right behind it, and we have to get off that bus and get on the second bus. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I was telling somebody else on the bus, I should have stayed with the brown line. I should have stayed where I was. And, you know, there's different reasons I get on some of these different bus stops. Like I said, if I get off on Devon, there's a shorter walk to where my place is because I'm like one block and a half from Devon, but I'm like four blocks away from Western. Am I boring everybody with this? I'm sorry. It was just something. It's one of those little annoying things that happens to people during their course of work. You know, you finish your job and you get tired and you just want to go home. And then some BS like this happens. And people say, well, why don't you just get a car? Well, you know, I don't want to get a car. First of all, gas is through the roof, and I'm not in the habit of paying, you know, this much for gas, and I'm not going to. Then there's the expense of the car. Then there's the expense of the insurance. I'm just rambling now. Give me a second. Let me get a drink here. Hang on. Just water. Joe doesn't drink alcohol. I know I'm a boring SOB. This is why, you know, Sam, the voice of the working guy. I'm not really the same. I'm not you're a Jeff Foxworthy, rednecky type working guy. Hang on a second. What do we got? Oh, we got a phone call. Timber from North Carolina. Come on in. You're on line one. Pull up a chair. Have a cup of Joe.
Hey, Joe. Good to talk to you. Glad to hear you back on the air.
Thank you.
I got a couple.
What's up?
I got a couple of things for you. One is I heard a speech by a military man. I think he was with the Air Force, named Thomas Barnett. And I've also read a military planning document online. It was like a slideshow that they presented at some conference. It was called Joint Vision for 2020, and the gist of this slideshow was that the purpose and the mission of the U.S. military is essentially the same as that of the Spanish Armada, and that's to protect and advance private economic interest around the world. So I wonder if the military says that to themselves in military planning documents, how do they get away with perpetuating the myth when they're recruiting people, when they're selling these wars to the public, that we're actually doing it for democracy and freedom?
Well, unfortunately, propaganda is a very powerful tool. And the truth of the matter is they're having a lot of serious problems with recruiting. In fact, I'm hearing there used to be a kind of thing where, I don't know what the exact rule is, but the basic premise was no lunatics, no racists, no lunatics, basically. And they basically stopped that, and they're letting more crazy people in because they simply got to fill numbers. It doesn't surprise me. It goes back through history. Timber, are you familiar with General Smedley Butler?
I am. War is a racket.
Right, exactly. And it's just more of a continuation of the same thing. For those of you who aren't familiar with General Butler, he was a Marine general who was basically recruited by some right-wingers in this country in the 30s to have a coup against President Roosevelt, and he basically said no, and he wrote a thing called War is a Racket. So it's still going on, right? Same like with Operation Northwoods. You familiar with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and
here's my thing, Joe, because I mean, we have a theme on the Democrat liberal side that the Republicans are running on a campaign of fear. But every day I go to the DNC.org website to make sure that I'm not misrepresenting, and all I see there is security at home, terror threat, war on terror. And you go to the Fighting Dems website, and there's a picture of an American military man hanging out of a helicopter over a desert that I assume is Iraq, and the caption is, "On the front lines of democracy." They are not challenging the notion that we're over there to advance freedom and democracy. They're not even challenging the premise of that is being perpetuated by the Republicans.
The question is, could they get away with it if they didn't? I mean, it's bad enough that anybody who's even mildly against the war gets labeled as traitors. I mean, these guys, even with doing all that stuff, they're still getting labeled as traitors, right? Could you imagine what would happen if they went out and said, you know, this war is wrong, and George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld ought to be tried as war criminals? Could you imagine what they do to them?
Well, we argue every day on Horn and on Air America that America is an overwhelmingly liberal nation, and that it's only the fringes who keep people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity on the air. So I think if we believe that, then we have to also go ahead with the idea that we could say things like that.
I think that's right, but the problem is the people who keep the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and all the other people on the air are the people with deep pockets. And, you know, we do what we can here at the Horn, but let's face it, we don't go into hundreds of radio stations, thousands of radio stations across the country. And, you know, even with Limbaugh's ratings falling, they don't care because the advertisers still pay the money. Because they're not interested in, you know, selling product as much as they're interested in spreading a message. And they're very good at it, unfortunately. And stuff, if you don't think about it, what they say makes sense to a certain crazy kind of point of view. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, it's a catch-22.
If you didn't,
because if we adopt their language to get elected or to avoid any kind of controversy, then we're not putting people in office who are going to challenge these policies once they're there.
Oh, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. You're absolutely right. We should take a much more combative stance against it. And I've mentioned this before, is that the reason why I don't think things are going to get much better is because even if by some miracle we manage to win Congress back this year, I don't have any confidence in the Democratic leadership doing, you know, what needs to be done. And they're not going to do what they need to be done if they're doing stuff like this on their websites, you know? And especially you're talking about DLC stuff. Was that DLC or DNC?
Well, the DNC.org website is what I was talking about. The DLC, I don't even bother because I just pretty much view them as a wing of the Republican Party.
See, the DNC ought to know better. Governor Dean ought to know better than to be doing stuff like that. But
it was a transcript of an interview with Dean that I read just before I called you, and he was talking about a lot of things, but he didn't mention. There's no criticism of the fact that we started testing new nuclear weapons here at home. He talks about the military being overstretched, but doesn't mention the fact that we have 700 to 1,000 military bases all over the world that are staffed with military people. We have over a million people in uniform, and yet we're saying we're overstretched because we don't have enough troops in Iraq, as if those are the only troops that we have to draw from.
Well, that's because there's combat troops and there's support troops. For every combat troop you have at least maybe upwards of 50 to 100 people who are supporting them. So the bulk of our military are not, you know, grab a gun and start shooting types.
Right.
So, you know, that's where that is. And there is a difference. I mean, you know, and the military is stretched, let's face it, because you can't grab a guy from the Air Force and just give him a rifle and say, go out to Iraq. A guy like me, you know, who was in calibration, electronic calibration, what the heck do I know about firing a rifle? If they had tried to get me to go in there, it wouldn't have lasted very long, you know?
Right.
You not only want to have soldiers, but you want to have people who know what the heck they're doing, at least on the front lines anyway. You can get away with incompetence from generals and political leadership, I guess, so long as the soldiers are doing their job. But I'm with you, man. I am totally with you. And I think things have to get a lot worse. I mean, Bill Mann talks about this, and he says that what we really need is not just small victories, but we need to have a really, really big nasty thing. And there is a streak of militarism in this country, that we do have a worship of the military. And that's really part of a whole fascist society, worship of the military. And people are afraid to say anything against it because, you know, the schmucks in the heartland will say, well, you know, he's again our soldiers. You know, no offense, but you live in one of the states that's big on stuff like that. You know, North Carolina. Obviously, they haven't.
Yeah, there's billboards all over North Carolina say we're the most military-friendly state in the country, and I'm sure that's true.
And it's true in the sense that, you know, they'll send their sons and daughters off, but it's unfortunately false in the sense that they're just getting suckered. I mean, they're having their loyalty and their patriotism being taken advantage of, and that's the real shame of it.
Well, that is the frustration for me when people say that there's no alternative, there will be no alternative to the Democratic Party, and then the Democratic Party doesn't have the courage to actually present a real alternative.
I really don't know what to tell you on those lines.
We're not as bad as the nutcases who are running the Republican Party.
God, I know. It's kind of horrible that we've gotten to this point in this country, hasn't it? Listen, I hate to break you off because this is a really good thing, but we're already late on a break, and we got the last 10 minutes. Listen, Timber, thanks a lot. Give me a call, and I'll be back on Monday. So if you want to give me a call on Monday, we can talk more about this because you called late into the segment there. But I really do want to talk about this more because this is important. Actually, do you want to hang on? We can continue when we come back.
Go ahead. I'll call you on Monday.
Okay. Take care. All right, last few minutes coming up. Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, you can help people in need. Here are a few suggestions. Contact your local Red Cross. Donate blood. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW. You can also donate money. Go to redcross.org. And as well, you can contact your local church, synagogue, or mosque and find out what they're doing to help people affected by Hurricane Katrina. Thank you for your help and get involved.
Hi, my name is Joanne and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community. because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. Got caught up talking to people there. Let's see. Oh, we got Mark Levine coming on next. We just got a few more minutes here. And I really hate that when that happens. I was really having a good conversation with Timber there, and, you know, the break caught us up. It's something I'm going to have to get used to. When I was doing the pre-recorded stuff, I can just have a phone interview and talk and talk and talk. But, you know, but we got Mark Levine coming up next, and he's got some interviews, and hopefully he's going to call in here real quick so he can talk about what he's got going on. Let me point out this, too, real quick, because it was something I wanted to talk about in a little bit more detail. Maybe I'll talk about it more on Monday. But as well as being a streak of very pro-military and kind of mindless pro-military in this country, there is also, at this point in time, a real streak of anti-intellectualism. I was reading a book a little while ago about Upton Sinclair. And, you know, if you probably know who Upton Sinclair is, if you're a regular listener to The Horn, you probably know who these great liberals are. And, you know, Mrs. Sinclair was just a writer. I mean, he ran for office a few times, almost was governor of California, but he was a political activist, but he was really more known for being an intellectual. And he got to meet with presidents. He met with Teddy Roosevelt. He met with Franklin Roosevelt. He met with a lot of presidents. And people respected him because he was an intellectual. Nowadays, you know, we don't like intellectuals in this country. Look at how we treat Al Gore. Al Gore can't be what he is. He's got to be a movie star because that's what we want. We want presidents who are entertainers. Okay, let's. We've got Mark. Mark Levine is on the phone right now. Hi, Mark. Come on in. How are you doing?
I'm good. I want to let you know that I like intellectuals.
I like them too, Mark.
I'm a big
and I'm glad
fan of Upton Sinclair. I read The Jungle back in high school, and I think it very much affected, I don't know, the way I look at the world.
Well, I'm glad because it was a book that made a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives. A lot of people lived probably because of that book.
What's interesting?
Who you got on?
I was going to say about the book. What's interesting, of course, is that he was decrying working conditions, and Teddy Roosevelt read about these poor immigrants in the food factories and said, "We need to clean up our food," and that's how the Food and Drug Administration got its start from Upton Sinclair's
that's
The Jungle.
Right.
Even though Teddy Roosevelt right. didn't do much about the workers, he at least cleaned up the food plant, so that was good.
Well, you know, Roosevelt was one of the first liberal presidents, even though they didn't
that's
have
true.
The word liberal back then for that.
And he was the Progressive Party. No question.
And he was the last progressive Republican, that's for sure. Because after he left, all the progressives left the Republican Party. That's when they really became the corporate bastion that we know today. Mark, who you got on your show today?
Well, today I've got some interviews with three interesting people. The first is Clint Curtis. Many people who've been following these things real closely know who he is. A lot don't. He's the guy that was asked to hack into the voting machines. He was asked by Tom Feeney, who was the former Speaker of the House of Florida, current Congressman Tom Feeney, to hack into the voting machines, specifically to design software, Clint Curtis, the computer programmer, to allow them to cheat, to basically win the vote no matter who elected whom on Diebold. Clint Curtis thought that the purpose, because he was a Republican, was actually to try to stop the Democrats from doing it, designed the software, and then found out, no, this was actually to indeed hack the vote. Anyway, he got so upset the matter, he not only came public, but is now currently running against Tom Feeney, largely on this issue, and he's doing okay in a very Republican district. I've got him on. I've got an economist, Jared Bernstein, is going to talk about really how our economy's gone in the last few years and why it is that while the Dow is going through the roof and the rich are getting richer, the middle class is in trouble. And then I've got Cliff Schechter, a Democratic activist, talking about what we can expect in November. So it's three great interviews.
Mark, it sounds like a great show. And now that I'm starting up again, I need to get back to doing interviews again. I want to get Professor Juan Cole on to talk about the situation in Iraq. I had him on once before, and hopefully I can arrange some of that stuff over the weekend. I'm just glad you're here on the horn, man. We need every voice
like
we can get.
Here,
and you are
I'm glad to be part of y'all.
Yeah, that's great. Well, listen, we got the news coming up, and Everybody can look forward to the Mark Levine Show coming up here at the top of the hour. Mark, thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes, okay? Okay, we got the thing going on here. What do we got? Have we got the music coming up? See, I can't hear it if it's really, really low like that. I don't know if it's coming on or not. There we go. That's one of it. That was, I got to remember the guy that sent me that song. It's a Mo Jones singing Cup of Joe. Anyway, that's it for me for today. I'll be back on Monday, and I might be back for a little more often for the next week. We'll see. We'll know more on Monday. Thanks again to Mark, and thanks again to Agnes and to Bob and to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. And for everybody here at the Head On Network, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Show signing off. Say bye.
Put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Shawn. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe.
Quality News Network. A volatile situation in the southeastern Iraqi city of Amara, of a provincial capital, which was partially taken over briefly by armed Shiite militia earlier today. But Iraqi officials say the violence has now been brought under control after 700 Iraqi military entered the city. Until 2 months ago, Amara was under the control of British troops, but in August they moved out after turning the city over to Iraqi military. The BBC reports that those troops are now on standby to re-enter the city if needed. They are already providing air surveillance. In the wake of statements from U.S. military spokesman and General William Caldwell, the U.S. is now reviewing its entire security plan for Baghdad. President Bush is saying today that he will consult with American generals to see if a change in tactics is necessary, but there's no indication he's changed his mind about the overall strategy in Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is skeptical of reports from South Korea that North Korean leader Kim Jong-il has told a Chinese envoy that his country has no plans to conduct any more nuclear weapons tests. He is also reported to have apologized and expressed regret for the first test. Rice, who's now in Beijing, said she heard none of this during her talks with Chinese leaders today about using their leverage to force North Korea to abandon its nuclear program and return to the bargaining table. Rice leaves for Moscow tomorrow before returning to Washington. In Afghanistan, gunmen have killed 8 civilians who work at a U.S. military base. The workers were killed execution style while they were on their way home from their jobs in eastern Afghanistan. The U.N. General Assembly resumes voting today to fill a seat on the Security Council. After 29 votes so far this week, the body is still deadlocked between Venezuela and Guatemala. A federal judge has ordered that the names of those who visited with Vice President Dick Cheney over the past 2 years be released. The Washington Post had asked for the logs to identify which lobbyists had access to the vice president. The White House claimed executive privilege, but the court says those records must be released by the end of the week. Republican leaders in Orange County, California, are at odds with one of their own, calling upon the Republican candidate for Congress to bow out of the race because of campaign tactics now under investigation by the state. Those tactics involved a letter to Hispanics telling them they could be arrested and deported if they vote on Election Day.